Good morning. Today is December 14th, 2018. You are listening to Guild Investments Podcast. If you have any questions, please feel free to visit our website at www.guildinvestment.com, and you can sign up for our weekly global market commentary. It's an email that gives you email updates about investments, economics, emerging markets, innovation, and much more. Today on our podcast, we have Monty Guild, Chief Investment Officer and founder of Guild Investment Management. Hello, Monty.
Hello, Tim, and hello, listeners. Thanks for having me, and happy holidays to you all. Today, we'd like to talk about China's fragility and why China will not overtake the U.S. economy, Chinese economy, won't overtake the U.S. economy anytime soon. You know, in the past several years, we've written often about our views in China that are commonly promoted in the mainstream news and financial press. These views that China is an economic and geopolitical juggernaut, which could soon eclipse the U.S. in power and influence, and we believe that's incorrect. We do not believe that they're correct because we believe that they help create a level of anxiety about the relationship between China and the U.S. and the global impact of that relationship that are unwarranted by the facts, and because it's just plain not factually true that China will grow fast enough to eclipse the United States as an economy in the next 10 or 20 years. Geopolitics is more arguable than economics, and while we follow geopolitics as part of our analysis of macro trends, we're more in the expertise area of economics. So we're going to sketch our basic view. We remain very optimistic about the future of the United States beyond the near-term stock market volatility and even the next recession, which, whenever it may arrive, which may be in 2020 or 2021. As is often the case, we take information from consultants and advisors all over the world, and we have some excellent ones in China. We have some great charts and illustration in our commentary this week, and in order to see them, visit our website, www.guildinvestment.com, and you can also request a free copy of this week's letter and other non-sales materials. Basically, in order to close the existing gap in 20 years, if the U.S. economy grows at 3% per year in real terms after inflation, China would have to manage 6% real growth in U.S. dollar terms in that time, plus whatever inflation they have. Since China's growth was 17% annually during the 2000s and has run about 7% for the past 5 years, it seems on the face of it quite likely that China would catch up. But we think it's very unlikely. Why is that? First, China's real growth will not live up to its recent past. It is unlikely for a variety of reasons. The real level of growth for the past 5 years, according to Emerging Advisors Group, run by Jonathan Anderson, which is a brilliant group, which is headquartered in China, they say China has really only been growing by 4 to 4.5% a year for the past 5 years, if measured in the same way Western economies are measured. Secondly, China's huge growth impulse over the past two decades came from rapidly achieving dominance in low-end manufacturing, toys, garments, footwear, sporting goods, plush toys, and so on, and the like. That's not going to happen because all that production has moved away from China due to higher wage rates in China. It's moved to Bangladesh, Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, and other countries. The next point is that diminishing returns that China gets from property and construction that led to big growth of their economy and that large pop that came to an end 8 years ago in 2010. The next point is debt levels in the Chinese economy, domestic and household, have reached levels where further credit-led expansion, and all of their expansion in the last 30 years has been credit-led, will not produce the same heady results that it did in the past. And although we have noted that China may have been a global leader in the transition from the global economy to an e-commerce new economy, all that is done is take money from brick-and-mortar retail in China and put it into e-commerce retail in China, it has not changed the slowdown of per capita retail consumption in unit terms that has been taking place in China for the last few years. And there's nothing else that we can see up China's sleeve that could rekindle the growth miracle that existed from 2000 to 2010. They got another problem, too, that we'll mention, and that is exchange rates. It's extremely unlikely that their currency can go up versus the dollar. For many decades, and I mean many, many decades, the history of emerging market currencies has shown a tendency of devaluation for all of them. Since the 60s, the emerging world has depreciated outright in every single decade, except for the one from 2000 to 2010, when emerging markets enjoyed a sharp but short-lived appreciation spurt in their currencies. Why do they decline? Because they don't manage their economies in the conservative way that Western nations manage theirs. Serious depreciation forces are building up in their system because the Chinese monetary supply is growing far faster than foreign exchange reserves, one, and two, because of the deterioration in the current account balance. You know, their savings rate has been going up, but instead of saving and building more capital for new businesses in China, what that savings that the public has done, instead of investing in the stock market in China, in new businesses that are growing the capital base, employing new people, and expanding the economy, they do a little of that, but most of the money and the way the Chinese save money is instead of putting it in a bank and saving it, what they do is buy more real estate with it. A poor Chinese struggles to earn one home, a middle-class Chinese, every time they make some money, buys another home and may have two, three, four homes, and an upper-income Chinese may have many dozens of homes. This is commonly done in the Chinese culture. This is how they think. So instead of putting money into banks where it can be lent out or investing in the stock market themselves with their cash, they buy real estate. As far as the U.S. market goes in 2019, it's going to be volatile. But the trade will be settled, and it will be settled in a positive way for the U.S., but that may not happen till mid-year or later. What parts of the economy and the stock market do we like? On dips, but only on dips, buy technology stocks, buy healthcare stocks, and buy consumer stocks that can grow and that are selling at reasonable PE valuations. We do not endorse buying stocks at 50 or 100 times earnings, no matter how rapid their growth rate appears to be in the short run. In Europe, we're not particularly interested except for Britain. After the Brexit crisis is over, Britain's currency and stock market will rise. If Brexit is completed, it will rise more. If Britain stays as part of the EU and there is no Brexit, Britain's stock market and currency will rise less, but they will still rise versus the European currencies and versus the dollar. We're not bullish on the emerging markets until China shows a growth resurgence, which may start to happen in about July of 2019, because the monetary and fiscal policies they've embraced will start to be effective about that time. As far as gold goes, we're bullish for the first time in a few years, been neutral on gold. Now we're getting bullish because inflation is rising in emerging countries and they are going to be buying more gold as a hedge as their currencies fall in value. Thank you very much for your attention and happy holidays.